G'day, I'm Rob.
And I'm Dave.
And you're listening to our first hot take on season one, as they're calling it, of Doctor Who, Space Babies. Dave, hello.
Hello, Rob. Yes, Doctor Who is back. We're doing a hot take. We have both now watched, as soon as it dropped, episode one of this new series.
That's right. So while the second episode is going out there in the world, we've stopped. We're going to record this. Then we'll look at the next episode and record a hot take on that. And you'll be hearing two hot takes from us today.
Absolutely. Rob?
Yes, Dave.
What did you think of Space Babies?
Well, I have lots
Rob. Rob, stop. We haven't done our word of the week.
Yes, I have a word of the week, Dave.
What's your word of the week, Rob?
My word of the week is babies.
Oh, I wonder what you're referencing there.
You might be surprised.
I might be. Actually, I think I won't be, actually.
Okay.
Because originally my word of the week was anticipation, but towards the end of the episode, I crossed it out and wrote hammer.
Ooh, okay. I'm intrigued by that. We'll get to that at the end of the episode.
Yes. So now we'll go back. Rob, what did you think?
Dave, many times during this, I thought, you know what? RTD season openers are fluffy. They're always fluffy. And then it leads us into a season that gets progressively heavier. You know, I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
But this felt Christmas episode fluffy to me. And indeed, at the end, we're arriving back at Ruby's place at Christmas. And I thought, has Russell forgot he's already written a Christmas episode? Because this genuinely, to me, felt not just fluffy, but Christmas-level, bonkers levels of fluffy.
Okay.
That's my opening take.
Did you enjoy it?
That's an interesting question. The simple answer would be to say no, because I already knew so much about it. I mean, to the degree that about a week ago, Dave, I sent you a piece from a review that talked about the big exposition dump at the start of this episode and all of that. And between knowing about the space babies running the station, the big exposition dump, we'd already seen selected scenes here and there. I felt I was just watching it to get through the episode, to get to the next episode where Doctor Who might be starting to get a little more interesting and serious. This was like the medicine that I had to swallow before the bits that I wanted to see of this series, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I wasn't particularly enjoying it. But there were scenes, there were lines, there were bits I laughed at, there were bits where you have that wonderful moment where you twig just before the characters twig, thinking specifically about Snot at this point in time. And those things made me smile, made me happy. So I can't say I sat there just hating the thing and throwing things at the screen and all of that. But I wasn't particularly into the episode. I wasn't particularly getting much out of it. And I was just going through the motions, shall we say.
Okay, I can get that. That's mm-hmm. fair.
That's as honest as I can be.
Well, I don't want you to be dishonest here, Rob.
I'm sure the listeners don't either. How about you, Dave?
I thought this was fine. I clearly knew less about it than you did. I didn't know about the babies controlling the station. I hadn't seen any clips.
Right.
So I went in perhaps a little bit more open than you. I've got to be honest, I went in with a certain amount of trepidation. Some of the pre-publicity has had Shooty sort of striking a tone that made me a little bit wary of what might be to come. And RTD has certainly been going out of his way to make me a little bit wary of what might been coming down the track. And I have sort of spent the last week just going, don't forget, Dave, it's an RTD season. His first episodes are always incredibly fluffy and accessible. You know, just get through it. It'll be okay. It'll get better. And in the end, I actually didn't need to. I thought it was fine. Was it incredibly light and fluffy, as you say? Absolutely. Was there anything there that I particularly hated? No. It was fine. Look, am I going to go back and watch this many, many times? Oh, no, it's pretty sort of, you know, watch and forget. As an opening episode for potentially new viewers, I thought it did its job pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the episode will depend on whether you buy into the Space Babies as weird, camp, cute and adorable, or whether, like me, you're just sort of like, okay, you're doing this week, look, fine, I don't hate it, but I don't love it either.
Hmm. Well, you were talking about trepidation from RTD leading up to this. I picked out three specific bits of messaging that were in there.
Yep.
The no one grows up wrong messaging, the abortion messaging in terms of, you know, they want these babies to be created, but then they don't look after them. That was a very clear abortion type message there, which is interesting because it's the flip side of that is the doctor saying how wonderful the babies are. Yet on the other side, we're talking about how the society is letting them be born when perhaps they shouldn't be being born. Anyway.
Yeah, I thought that was a very clunky little line, and I didn't know quite where he was going. Initially, I was like, oh my God, he's doing it like abortion messaging, like what? That's always a risk. And then I sort of thought, oh, maybe he's not, maybe he's sort of doing a comment on parents who are willing to have a child but not willing to look after the child. Either way, I thought it was... Look, if we're going to predict that any line gets really fought over in the Twitter culture wars this episode, I think it'll be that one, because I don't think it was really quite clear where RTD was going, and all the sort of potentially takes maybe were a little problematic.
Yeah, and the third bit of messaging was the refugee messaging. But of the three, I think the most debatable, as you say, will be the abortion, if it's abortion messaging, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the refugee one, I mean, and you forgot the recession as well.
Oh,
you
know, of course.
Services cut during recessions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, there was lots of very unsubtle references to things happening. I mean, you know, it's proper ripped from the headlines type stuff. I will say I thought the refugee one made an interesting and important point, but it did ignore that there are proper refugee programs and refugee camps run by the UN that a number of countries, including the UK and Australia, subscribe to and take refugees from those you know, those lines and those processes. So, like, yes, there are refugees who run and seek asylum in other countries, absolutely, and that's a very important point. But to say that that's every refugee, and there's sort of, you know, imply there's no system that governments subscribe to try and rescue people, I thought was unfair. So that's my little bit of counter messaging to RTD. yes, it was ripped from the headline stuff. It wasn't subtle.
Yeah, a bit simplistic here and there. Callbacks. Lots of callbacks. He does the phone hack to Ruby's phone that he did to Rose's phone back in series one. Later on, it's very much clear that, you know, he realized back in series one that Rose perhaps wanted to time travel so she could meet her father. Here, he preempts that by saying to Ruby, I can't take you back to the church. And finally, at the end, he's doing the scan on Ruby, which is very much the whole impossible girl type thing, which isn't even an RTD thing, it's a Moffat thing. But those were like three bits. I'm thinking, oh, we're retreading that already? Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, I wrote a note down here, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And there were definitely callbacks. Look, it was pretty RTD opening episode by numbers. And again, you know, I was having this thought, is this episode written for fans in their 40s who have watched every episode of Doctor Who and can, you know, quote episodes from 1964?
No.
Or is this for the viewer who is literally turned onto Disney Plus and sort of seen a big picture of Shuri Gatwa saying, new Doctor Who season open now, and gone, oh, I like Shuri Gatwa, this looks intriguing, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
It was for that. And I think if we judge this episode and all these points as ourselves, we're going to be a little bit like, yeah, we get it, we've seen it before. This episode was not for us. This is the jumping on point. And look, I suspect every review is going to say this is just a made for Disney Plus jumping on point. I also noted the speech that he gave at one point about, you know, living lives and all the rest of it. I just thought that's not quite word for word a speech that he's given many times before, but again, all those sort of beats just felt incredibly RTD formula.
Yeah, and look, one thing I think some reviews will fall into the trap of is assuming this is all the new Doctor Who is going to be, and like, oh, they're now making it for that Disney Plus fan and such, and it's not for us. I don't think that's right. I think as the series goes on, it will become, and this is why I talked about it at the end of our April episode, I just think it's going to get darker. There were already some overtones of that in the episode, that scene where he's hugging Ruby and his whole face changes with his face hidden from her over her shoulder. and all of that. I think people who do say that the whole series is going to be like this are probably barking up the wrong tree. But they're quite right to say that this episode was very much for not us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fascinating to see where the series goes from here. Because, like, I didn't hate this. I thought it was fine. I thought it was enjoyable. Pretty fluffy and disposable, but sure, it did its job of me not turning off whilst hopefully getting new people in. So I get it, but yeah, if we get 8 episodes of this, I don't know I will make it.
Yeah, and I don't think we will. I really don't think we will.
No, if RTD is using his usual playbook, we won't, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it does everything it needs to do. It rattles along to the degree where we have that wonderful scene where they step out of the TARDIS in prehistoric times, but there's hardly any wonder from Ruby. Like, if I stepped out of the TARDIS and could see a Brontosaurus or whatever it was and some other dinosaurs, I'd be like, oh my God, that's dinosaurs. Like, I'd want to go and run up closer, and instead it's like, oh yeah, there's some dinosaurs down there. Yeah, we've got to move on because the script says we've got to move on.
Yeah, although she did squee when she was told she was in the future or something, didn't she?
Oh, that's true. That's true. But then perhaps when I'll use the example of when they got on the space station and there are babies in jars, she wasn't even that surprised by that.
No, and that was an image where I must admit I saw those and I thought, bloody hell, like, ugh.
Yeah,
it's
quite confronting.
Babies in jars, that's quite an icky image.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, there wasn't a like, oh my God, this is terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, which is maybe where I would have gone at least for 10 or 15 seconds. Yeah, it's...
Oh, another piece of messaging, Rob.
Yes.
There are no monsters, just people we haven't met.
Oh. I couldn't tell whether that was a joke or not, though.
Yeah, I did sort of... My first reaction was, okay, that's quite a good line. My next reaction was, oh, that could be a bit of messaging. And then my third reaction was, I hope it's not messaging, because if we don't have monsters, it's going to be a very dull season.
Exactly.
Should we talk about the 15th Doctor, Rob?
I think we'd better.
What did you think?
I liked him. I knew I'd like Shooty's performance from the last episode he was in. Yet something about him felt slightly off in this episode. I don't know whether it was because he wasn't being quite as crazy as I thought he'd be, or... It's hard to put into words because we've turned the microphones on as soon as this episode has stopped. And in no way am I saying I don't like this Doctor. Not at all. I actually quite like him. I think I'm just, he's still bedding down in my mind. You know, I'm just really riffing here, Dave. I don't quite know what to say. I think there's going to be some good stuff to come. And I think he's a good Doctor. Maybe it was just the writing in this episode. Maybe it was just what he was given to act against. You know, lots of babies and prams and things. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I think the way you put it, that he's still bedding down, is very, very accurate. And I think that my view on the 15th Doctor is one that is also still being bedded down. He's not locked home as the Doctor for me yet. And that's fine. That usually takes a few episodes for a Doctor to really sort of get in the mind and go, yes, they're the Doctor now. He's not there yet. He's still working on it. I did think that he was bedding down his character a little bit. And it's worth saying as well, I think we went into this episode with a lot of Shooty Gatwa in our minds rather than the 15th Doctor. And obviously, you know, that would be like going into an episode with, you know, Jodie Whittaker's personality rather than Jodie Whittaker's Doctor, because they're very different things. So like, we went in with a lot of Shooty Gatwa and sort of had to go, no, this isn't Shooty Gatwa, this is the 15th Doctor. There were some really wonderful moments. There were little smiles, little winks, little nods that I thought were really good pieces of acting. There were moments when I thought Eric from Sex Education had sort of stopped in for 10 seconds, and that was a little bit sort of disconcerting.
Well,
and
see, I never see that because I've still never watched Sex Education, so I'm immune to seeing that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, that's fair. And there were also a few moments when I thought Shooty didn't quite know what he was doing. A couple of the very sci-fi lines, I sort of thought he was a bit like, I'm saying this line and I'm giving it lots of enthusiasm, but what am I saying?
Yeah.
I thought that did come through. So I think he's very capable.
Yes.
I'm not quite sold on his character yet. I don't quite know his character yet. And I don't think he's quite bettered it down either. And that's very acceptable for his second episode.
Yeah, I did enjoy the... Because it wasn't a big speech, but it was a nice speech with the, you know, I don't have a home and I don't pay taxes and I do what I want and I have freedom. And that I have freedom, the way he delivers that, I think that could become quite an iconic line for him, particularly in years to come where people do little clips, packages, playing that line over footage of him doing stuff, I think could become quite a thing. So keep an eye on that, folks, in years to come.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was a great example where somebody watching for the first time would go, wow, that's a lovely line. And I was going, yeah, that's a good line, but it's just so RTD. Like, I've seen this line before.
Yeah, speaking of people watching for the first time, we talked about the exposition dump at the start, which I'd already flagged to you through that text from that article that I'd sent you on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming. Would it have been better if done organically? I mean, how stupid is the audience meant to be? If we see a man travel in time and space, do we need him to tell us, almost turn to camera and tell us, I travel in time and space? If he gets called the Doctor a lot, can they just assume he's called the Doctor rather than being told, oh, I am called the Doctor? All of this, I think, ruins the replayability of the episode. I know it was probably only about 10 minutes at the start, but when you think of playing this episode again, you think, oh, I've got to go through all that. I'm the Doctor and I'm from Gallifrey and I'm the last of the Time Lords and I'm this and I'm that. Couldn't we have just shown this?
I think when we get to our season wrap-up, which I believe will be our June monthly episode, It's going to be fascinating to sort of compare this episode to Rose and this season to Series 1.
Yeah.
And talk about how television has perhaps changed significantly even in 19 years. I mean, I say even in 19 years, you know, compare Season 1 of Doctor Who to, you know, Season 17 or Season 19 even. You know, Rose absolutely, and we all praised this at the time, Rose absolutely was all about throw the Doctor in, having a quick action scene with an Auton, then slowly Rose gets to her over the course of an episode, then Gallifrey isn't mentioned until the second episode, etc., etc. Whereas this has just gone, okay, we probably have 5 minutes to grab an audience, and if they're confused, they're turning off. So let's just dump it all at the start and explain what's going on and kind of hope that Shooty's charisma is going to carry them through that.
Yeah, So it's almost a fear of losing the audience. In the past, Doctor Who already had this built-in BBC audience and its audience around the world, but here they're really shooting big for a new audience.
Yeah, and we know that Disney is not, you know, necessarily standing over RTD's shoulder and dictating everything, but they are giving notes. And it wouldn't shock me if, you know, some official in California or something is going, hey, now, Russell, like, I like this story, but I don't know who this guy is. Who is this guy? You know, you got to put that out there. Tell us who this guy is. What's going on? I was last, man. I was last. Got to get the audience in. Like, you know, I just wonder if that was a note.
Oh, I can imagine it, and probably in that accent too, Dave. Yeah. It's there are YouTube channels in particular who'll tell you that Disney's standing over him, telling him to do everything, and I don't think that is the case. But yes, this exposition dump just seemed very strange to me in some ways.
It felt like a Disney note to me.
Yep, let's mark it up to that.
Absolutely. The sound mix was better than Ruby Road in that I didn't have to turn the subtitles on, but there were still moments when I thought the sound mix was off and I was straining a little bit to particularly get Shooty's dialogue. And look, I watch a lot of television. I watch a lot of new television. This is a problem that does seem to be unique to Doctor Who.
I noticed it because I was having to have the volume down a little this morning and I had it at a level where I could hear the voices. But some of the sound effects, like where the steam kept shooting out of the pipe and the ship's, what was she, the accountant? the yes. Ship's accountant kept having to hit the pipe with her trusty spanner. That steam sound seemed to be twice as loud as the vocals.
Yes, I think that's true. And the music was almost constant and almost a little bit too high. And we also weren't helped by the fact that although they did a reasonable job at the CGI baby mouths, whatever that was, it wasn't perfect and we weren't getting the visual cues for their dialogue we normally would by, you know, just subtly lip reading as well as listening.
Yeah, and speaking of the babies, I mean, I have only just watched it once. We're talking about it now. I don't quite get the conceit there. They had grown up but were still in baby bodies, but yet they still had baby-like thoughts. They weren't actually adults in their brain, but they had grown up. I didn't get that at all, to be quite honest.
Look, unlike Chibnall, he did cover it with a line.
Oh, I must have missed it.
Well, in that there was a line that, like, you know, this is a thing that's happened. It wasn't just, like, just go with it. It wasn't a very good line. It wasn't a very exposition-y line. I think that this is just, you know, an RTD thing. I was just like, no, the babies, they can speak and they're like 6 years old, but they're really just babies and, oh, it'll be marvellous. Just, you know, just go with it. Right. And I think that's what we're meant to do. And I suspect there'll be a lot of fans who are just like, yeah, this is cool, this is camp, this is cute, I'm running with it. I didn't really run with it. I didn't hate it. It was a conceit. Yeah. Whatever.
Mm. Did you twig about the snot before it was revealed, where Shooty's going, oh my God, I've travelled in time and space all this time and this is the worst. This is really the worst. When he was doing that, I thought, oh, it's snot.
I twigged on relatively quickly that it was going to be body fluids of some sort.
Right.
And then I was sort of going through the brain going, well, it can't be that. It won't be that. It could be that, but I hope it's not that. And they probably wouldn't do that. And sort of, you know, narrowed it down reasonably quickly to that. I again, to be a pedant, I would say that bogies and snot are very different things.
I would too, actually.
So I think that was fine. But no, I did get it. And again, that's a very season one or episode one just like ridiculous thing. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. It's not exactly the Golgotha from Dogma. I did get some Grey 17 is missing vibes from the monster.
From B5, yes.
From B5, yes.
Yes, yes.
Rob, I've just got a couple of quick points to make before we go through to the sports desk.
Okay.
I thought the opening titles and the opening theme were exceptionally good, better than we've seen probably in a very, very long time. And I must say, even as the credits rolled and the middle eight came on, I thought that middle eight is absolutely fantastic. And getting to hear it sort of properly, not just hear it, but hear it as a middle eight. So go through the theme, get the initial through, and then a bit further in, we get the middle eight as this. I just thought that was really, really good. I haven't seen anything that good for a while. As much as I like the Jodie titles, this was even better.
Yeah, the titles, I didn't think they changed from the Christmas special, because I recalled the TARDIS going through that sort of cloud, flying from right to left across the screen through the cloud. So I'm not sure the visuals had changed, but I like the music very much, and I would like to hear it again at a louder volume than I had it playing at.
Yep. Rob, what did you make of the Doctor's Jedi powers, where he can breathe life into butterflies now?
Yeah, for a moment I thought they were even going to do a regeneration thing, like he's close enough to the regeneration, maybe, to still have some magical ability, but they just went with breath. That scene played out differently to how I thought it would. I think on an earlier episode of the podcast I'd said that he might have, like, looked at her and she's an alien and sort of blinked and shook his head and looked back and she was back to normal, like it was just a fantasy of his, yet it actually seems to have happened, maybe tying into this concept, as he said in this episode, that the universe is knackered. Bonkers things can happen because everything's gone out of whack. So, okay.
Yeah, it is going to be potentially problematic in the future when he doesn't save something's life.
Interesting, yes.
So we'll see what happens there. The mention that we all speak a version of Cantonese now was very interesting. It gave me Firefly vibes,
yes.
Although given some of the threats towards Australia from China, it didn't have the friendliest of implications either for us sitting on this side of the globe. So we'll see what that was. But I don't think RTD meant anything by it. He very rarely means anything by anything he says. He's not known for his deep thought.
No.
Everything else I've got we can talk about at the sports desk, Rob.
Well, let's go. Here we are at the sports desk. For new listeners, this is where we do our play of the week, foul of the week, and MVP of the week. Although this week, Dave, with two episodes, it's play of the episode, I guess we should say.
That's a good point. Play of the hour.
Yeah, would you like to kick us off with your play?
Look, I can't go beyond the dinosaur scene. I love dinosaurs, did as a kid, still do as an adult. I also really like The Sound of Thunder, the short story that was the original iteration of Stepping on a Butterfly and Changing the Future. So I thought that was all just really well done. It was visually spectacular. And I think that I, as a long-term fan, thought that was very impressive and a great use of time and visuals. And I think that if you're somebody who's just sat through this exposition scene and gone, okay, I know what's going on, is this going to be a good show, you then get that visual and go, yeah, I'm going to keep watching.
Very good. My play was the physical comedy in the episode, and that might not even stand out to people with all the other stuff that was going on, but I mean scenes like where they mention the bogeyman and all the kids are like, ah, and then the doctor jumps up and goes, bogeyman! And they completely freak out. I think scaring children is fabulous. And then later in the episode where he's talking about slipping over, and just as he says the word, Ruby slips over in a very funny way. It's the don't call me Rubes moment. It's the snot dripping on her head moment. So there were these bits of physical comedy that I thought, oh, I quite like that. I always enjoy physical comedy. Whenever it's in Doctor Who, just off the top of my head, I think back to David Tennant and the nuts that he's eating in the Agatha Christie episode to try and cure him of the poison he's had. You know, I love physical comedy in Doctor Who.
Cool. What was your foul of the week, Rob?
This is really tricky. I talked earlier about this seeming very much like a Christmas episode, both in tone and even with the ending, them arriving back at Christmas. And I wondered whether that was quite the right thing to start the new season with. Because A, because we've had a Christmas episode, and B, because it is the new season, a lot of people are going to be tuning in, a lot of first-time people, and they're going to think this is Doctor Who, because they don't have any other reference. They don't have our decades and decades, Dave, of knowing that this is just how an RTD episode works. And so that could be a foul, yet on the flip side of that same coin, it's quite right for how you probably should start the season to ease people in, like here's something fun and funny and quirky and weird, and then take them on the journey from there. So it's probably correct in what it's doing, yet it felt like a foul to me personally, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I get that. I get that a lot.
Okay. And your foul, Dave?
My foul, Rob, this might surprise you because I very rarely talk about this topic and you do all the time.
Oh, fashion?
Fashion. My foul was the Doctor's costume. I absolutely hated it. I just thought it looked horrendous. It looked ugly. I don't think it did Shuni Gatwa any favours. But also, I do think that there is an absolute through line from the Hartnell costume right through to Jodie's costume and everywhere in between. And this, to me, did not connect with that through line at all. It's good to evolve, it's good to be different, but I thought this was too big a break. And I think it does lean into perhaps this idea we've been getting in some of the pre-publicity that this is going to be a big breaking character for the Doctor. And I worry that the Doctor goes from being a Time Lord with this backstory that goes back to Hartnell to just being Shuni Gatwa in space. Very possibly I'm extrapolating too much from that, but even if you put that aside, I just didn't like the costume.
Yeah, well, he's going to change costumes a lot, as we've seen. That said, Capaldi changed costumes a lot and mostly felt doctorish. I think Capaldi felt really off when he wore that ragged T-shirt and hoodie and checked pants and things like that. That just looked atrocious. On the whole, though, Capaldi changed and still looked doctorish. This, the silhouette with the jacket on probably looked doctorish, but he didn't wear the jacket for most of the episode. And yeah, it's a different look. We'll have to see what he wears for the rest of the season.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. MVP of the week, I'll lean in here. We don't have much choice, Dave, when we really look at the cast. So, look, I'm going with Shuti. He could even sell sadness at snot being sucked off into space. You know, we were having our alien moment. Ripley is ejecting the xenomorph into space. And then the Doctor decides, oh, it's the last of its kind too. And although it's just a big pile of snot, I'm going to save it. But across the episode, he did some really good stuff. I liked his performance. I think there's got to be a little bit more to come for him to really nail the Doctor. But I think it's on the right path. Shuti Gatwa.
My player of the week was Mark Tondorai, who was the director. Because all three of the performances were fine, but none of them were sort of like outstanding to me. And I did realise that again and again through the episode, there were moments where I was going, wow, that's a great shot. wow, that's a great image. Wow, that's a great way he's used the camera there. And one little example was just the way that we saw the opening of the airlock was just a really lovely, beautiful shot. And I just thought, this director's really doing some interesting and different things with this that even in New Doctor Who I thought stood out. So I'm giving it to Mark Tondorai, and if I've pronounced that wrong, I apologise.
Well, very good. Dave, before we wrap up, we've got to talk about our word of the week. My word was babies. Your word was...
hammer.
Hammer. Do you want to explain hammer?
I thought that there were a number of times when RTD was hammering home a lot of points. Whether it was his messaging being incredibly unsubtle, whether it's the, okay, everybody, the timeless child happened and we're still doing the timeless child. And yeah. Did I mention I'm the timeless child? And did you know I'm adopted? That was being hammered on. But even just some of the visual flashbacks, I thought, how dumb do you think this audience is that when he talks about the snot, he then has to say, oh, and we saw that. And then you have to have a flashback to something we saw about 7 minutes ago of the tissues being put down. There were a couple of times when they did flashbacks like that, which I don't remember happening in Doctor Who before. And I'm sure I've forgotten some obvious example, but I just thought so often they treated the audience very, very, very dumb and were just hammering home very obvious points.
Dave, we're in absolutely the same territory.
I thought we were going to be. You're going to say they treated us like babies, aren't you?
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct. For all the reasons you just mentioned and the exposition dump at the start, I just felt, yeah, you're sort of infantilizing the audience a little. But to wrap up, I think this episode was cutesy versus bonkers and fell on the bonkers side of the scale, which I think is the better side of the scale to fall on. For me, it would be a 6 out of 10 as an episode. But for the target market, for these new Disney people, for people who are just coming along for the ride, I think it could have even been as high as a 7 or 8 out of 10. I think it would have played better for them. I freely admit that. But for me, 6 out of 10.
Yeah. If all 8 episodes were like this, I'll be very, very disappointed, and I don't know that I'll get to the end of the season. I'll put that out on the table now. For episode 1, I was absolutely willing to roll with it. It was harmless. It was fun in places. It didn't annoy me. So, you know, actually better than I was expecting and anticipating, which is a very good thing. If I'm judging it for me, I'll give it a middle of the pack C. It did no harm, but I'm not going to, you know, put it in my top and go back and watch it again. But I agree, if you're judging it on its ability to introduce brand new viewers, it's a B+, maybe even an A-.
Well, there you go, folks. That's what we think. What do you think? Why not let us know on Twitter or Facebook or catch us down the pub or wherever you might find us. Dave, we've got the Devil's Court to go and watch now.
Yes, so I'm going to go quickly make some toast because I don't think we're going to get to 1 p.m. without having something to eat. And, and we will watch it. So if you're listening to this on the feed, we'll be back in seconds, but in our time, we'll be back in about an hour.
Beautiful. See you then, Dave.
See you soon, Rob.
Bye.
Goodbye.